good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the Business of Sports podcast with Robert T. Green,
CEO of Pre-Post Game Incorporated. This is Ricky Hampton, editor and founder of the African American Athlete, and a great chance to check in with Rob, get caught up on what's going on in the world of sports. Rob does a tremendous job in breaking down the business of sports. I think, Rob, what's your mantra? Sports is not a game. It's a business.
Sports is not a game. Sports is all business, 24/7, 7 days a week.
And Rob, seems like that's getting truer every single day.
Absolutely. And at once, I want to thank you, Mr. Hampton, for having me on. Obviously, when it comes to the sports business and what my role is as the players rep and the CEO of pre-post game, the information that's being presented to athletes and their families at every level, a lot of times is not getting to them at the earliest level in the stages to really understand the decisions that they make. Most of them are uninformed decisions. A lot of them come based off of relationships and what we call stage relationships, not really people that you actually know, but someone with someone and with someone else, third party, if you will. So understanding that what, again, we talk about in sport, when you're going to put time, money, and energy into a sport, we talk about start with the end in mind, which in plain English means understand the big picture and work your way back. So once again, for those guys that want to make it to the NBA, for those guys that want to make it to the NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, whatever, there's a lot of rules, a lot of things that go into the actual sport from the pro level that, as you learn more earlier, it allows you to basically make better decisions to get you to that point when it's all said and done.
Absolutely, man. Hey, so let's just get caught up. It's been a while since you and I have been together. What are some of the issues that are on your radar right now that you think people need to know a little bit more about from an inside perspective?
Well, one, I'll work my way back. Obviously, T.O.'s Hall of Fame induction, I got my thoughts on that. Jalen Hurts regarding speaking his mind to the media and regarding his situation in Alabama being the backup or starting quarterback. But as of yesterday, NCAA put out a ruling or tried to talk about a ruling regarding the NCAA basketball where athletes can make decisions pertaining to going pro or returning to school. And in essence, stating that if they were elite, again, elite athlete, that they are allowed, key phrase, allowed to hire agents and then return to school if they didn't get drafted. One of the main reasons why I did an impromptu post last night is that, one, the NCAA can't allow an athlete or a parent to do anything. A high school athlete has nothing to do with the NCAA. And mind you, when they made this ruling and what they did not take into account of USA Basketball or the NBA, and for that reason, because at the end of the day, just like when they talk about everything is about free education, the education is this, that now baseball has separate rules versus hockey, and now you have basketball. So what they in essence are saying is that by allowing athletes to have agents and go to the NBA and they don't work out, they can come back because now they still want those same athletes to be able to generate the millions and billions of dollars of revenue for the actual school. They play tough. They act like they got control over things. But once again, the control has always been in the hands of the actual family and the kid. To break it down even simpler is that, think about this situation. You raise your son, your daughter, and whatever the sport may be, you put all the money and time and energy into these camps, these trainers, into going out to places, nutrition, their clothing. And then at the end of the day, the first thing you get to, once you get them to college, they get a scholarship. Now you're told that you can't benefit from what you've done with your child. Secondarily speaking, they get to the next level where they have to become pros and overnight millionaires. Now you have somebody show up within a matter of 3 or 4 months and tell you how they're going to take you somewhere else. The fact of the matter is when it comes to drafts or pre-draft rankings, things like that, those people are going to be millionaires because of themselves, because what you did as a parent, because they didn't get in trouble, because they didn't punch nobody in the face, because they didn't sell drugs, because they didn't take anything that they call an impermissible benefit. So in return for my son and my daughter getting to that point, I'm in essence going to sell my kid away. So I'm going to give him to you, and then I'm going to let you charge me to take him from me. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And that's why, again, at the end of the day, parents and athletes continue to get stuck, because the reality is without doing the right thing in the beginning, they can't do the right thing at the end. So they should be understanding what they need to do to make sure they don't fall into that same trap.
I remember having you on the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com talk show, and you made a great point about, I think it was during the signing day time, and
right.
you talked about the mistake kids make when they sign that letter of intent. And, you know, everybody celebrates it. They have the big ceremony and all that. But why would you not sign that? Tell us why we shouldn't sign that, or at least take a hard look at what we're getting into.
Well, once again, you're talking about sports is not a game, sports is all business. When you talk about contracts, when you might recruit a kid for 3 to 4 years and then nothing but going on, you know, what do you call it, unofficial visits, official visits, and during those visits,
right.
kids go to basketball yeah. games, hang out with girls, go to parties, put their face up on the screen, pat them on the back, walk them out at the spring game, scream their name, yada, 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 yada. After those three years or 4 years or 7 months, all of a sudden now it's time for the kid to make the decision. That's the first time that the parent and the actual kid know what they're about to sign up for, which they really don't know. It is put it in front of their face. The coaches sit there in front of them and say, hey, sign this here. Not understanding the national letter of intent, unless you prepared, like you were talking about early signing, unless you prepared to understand that once you sign a national letter of intent, you give up the right to continue to put yourself in a marketing situation by that school, which means, again, they don't got to spend another dollar in recruiting a coach to come see you. They ain't got to spend another dime to put you out there on their actual website. They ain't got to do anything other than the fact to sit back and wait and relax. However, that NLI is a one-way contract. That coach, that school, that university, one, the coach that recruited you, he may be already taking another job unknown to that actual kid and family because they never asked that question. Two, once he actually leaves, the school will tell you, well, you came in for the school, not the coach, knowing that's not the truth and how it actually works, allowing other coaches to get kids to sign, and now they're stuck because of that national letter of intent. What you need to do is sit back and wait and realize, like, you know what? If you really want me, you're going to wait for me. Elite athletes, as they say, the schools are going to wait regardless. But without the actual player, none of these other programs move. And then the parent and the athlete need to start to understand that. Some of them are not comfortable with the whole hoopla or the people chasing them around all day, every day. I get that. But any athlete, elite athlete, or family to tell you why they're going to that university, I can assure you 1,000% that the school, the coach, and the recruiters told them that you come here, you will be a first-round draft pick. But the reality is, if that kid goes to the Power Five conference, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, those kids in particular, those elite athletes, they're going to be in the NFL regardless of who they where they go to school at. When that's just where they go, though, it's not going to make that coach more money. Case in point of the 2019 NFL draft up and coming. This is the class of the defensive linemen. Well, I just take Ed Oliver, who, again, went to the University of Houston instead of going to a Power Five conference, who also said, coming out of his sophomore year, this is my last year. And that's just, everybody knows he's a top five pick. Is he playing in a Power Five? No. Is he playing for a major coach? No. He went and played for Tom Herman, who used him, took the job at Texas, and left him there. However, did Ed Oliver all of a sudden now not still become a top five pick? Absolutely not. The point is this. Ed Oliver's playing against lower competition. He's dominating, and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, your job as an athlete, as a pro athlete, is to be healthy, productive, and be able to go out there and make as much revenue as you possibly can, and then turn around and protect your body. That's what a true education is. Not let me go over here because at the end
Absolutely.
Of the day, I help make sell tickets to somebody else. So parents need to wake up and understand that when these people say things to you and how they say it to you, it's a motive behind that. Whether it's good or bad, it's still a motive, and it's more important for that family's and have to understand their motive and make the best decision for them, not anyone else.
Hey man, and you know what you just said reminds me of what's going on down in Alabama with Jalen Hurts, quarterback, entering
right.
Arizona Junior. Rob, the guy's 26-2 in 2 years at Alabama. It's led them to the championship, national championship game, 2 years in a row, and, you know, he got pulled last year with the young guy. I forgot the guy's name. The left-handed
Tua.
Kid, freshman. How do you pronounce
Tua,
his name?
Yeah.
Tua comes off the bench,
just
plays great.
Tua. Right.
And now, you know, this guy who I'm sure Nick Saban said, hey, you're going to be the man as long as you're there, he may be sitting on the bench. And that goes to show you, when they're trying to get you there, they will tell you anything. But they're always looking to upgrade. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely. So once again, when you talk about sports, and this is talk about that situation. So for most people who don't know, although Jalen Hurts was a redshirt sophomore and Tua was a freshman, Tua was actually 20 years old and Jalen is actually 19. And that's important because once again, you talk about the development of the actual athlete and how Nick Saban and other schools such as Clemson, to name a couple, when they got older players and put them in situations to do certain things, well, if I'm a 20-year-old freshman, I should dominate against 17 and 18-year-olds coming fresh out of high school. Now, once again, you're talking about development of the actual athlete. At the end of the day, being 26-2, when the game mattered most against a quality opponent, where was the coaching then? If you're going to give these coaches the title of being the best ever, you're all of a sudden going to say, well, he wasn't getting it done. The fact of the matter is, even in the pro sport, you talk about there's a quarterback-driven league, and some of these top major schools such as Ohio State or Alabama, to name a few, name me the last quarterback that Nick Saban is the greatest coach ever developed to play in the National Football League. I can tell you a zero. Joe Namath is the last one they had. His best quarterback he had came out was the guy backing up A.J. McCarron. So, once again, if I'm Jalen Hurts and I'm listening to Nick Saban right now about my career, what I need to do, I'm like, hey, they may say you're the best coach of all time in regarding Alabama football, but you have not been the best coach of quarterback. Your record has shown to prove so. So, at the end of the day, if you're going to sit there and play around with my career like you've done with the other five quarterbacks, I'll go somewhere else where I can really develop my talent and become successful. So, once again, to sit there and act like he's some great quarterback guru, like I said, don't trust the facts, not the process. And at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts has got to do what he got to do. And at the end of the day, not sit back and put his career on the line. He didn't come to Alabama to sit there and watch somebody else play. Again, when you start playing a sport, your clock starts to tick. And if your goal is to become a National Football League player, you need to do everything you can do to be on that actual field. At the end of the day, Nick Saban is not coaching for free. Urban Meyer is not coaching for free. JT Barrett was the best quarterback in the history of Big Ten, only to get drafted in the sixth round by the New Orleans Saints. So, once again, you keep telling these kids what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, but you can't actually produce the actual product. So, kids and families start recognizing that now. Like, you tell me one thing, the actions show another. And at the end of the day, if he leaves, great. If he doesn't, great. But he got to do his best for him.
And another great point you always make when we talk to you is that for an athlete, his earning power is while he is young. It's not
Absolutely.
10 years from now. His earning power is right now. So you got to get it while you can, because as a professional athlete, every day your window closes just a little bit.
Absolutely. So a great point to that is, though, so – even though you got to get it, but you got to tie in the education with that, the real education. Meaning, if, again, at 10 years old, I know I wanted to be in the National Football League, I have to learn how to think like a millionaire. I have to learn how millionaires operate. A couple key terms such as the tax code in certain states, how to manage your money, how to do all the different things to protect your body, how to eat right, how to train right, how to stay out of certain things, how to understand as a teenager, if I'm in school, what does sexual assault mean to me as a professional athlete, meaning like I'm a public figure. All these things, instead of these $55 million facilities that these schools are paying for and getting, like, nap rooms and ping pong tables, and you talk about developing young men in their character, you wonder why they struggle so much when they get to the next level. All these locker rooms, again, all they play is rap music all day, every day, not realizing, hey, I'm worth $25 million. I can listen to that music anytime I want to listen to it. But becoming a overnight a millionaire, how to sustain as one, is not something that I can take for granted and lighten. But once again, it's up to the parents and the athletes to understand that, hey, I got to make sure this kid understands what's going on, because the same way as his time is due play is ticking, his opportunity to sustain as a multimillionaire is ticking as well. It costs money to be rich. People don't understand that. You can't – Warren Buffett is still worth it today. Mark Zuckerberg has lost $1.8 billion only to drop him down to the sixth richest person in the world. He'll make that back. So at the end of the day, you can't become rich and expect to be successful and sustain that if all you do is listen to rap on Snapchat and basically want to figure out what my rating on Madden is. Madden making his money off of you. You're not making it off of him. That's what you gotta understand.
And get mad when the rating is not what you think it ought to be.
Right, because that standard
has
become
so
low, that's all we do.
That is so true, Rob. And that's why what you guys are doing at pre-post game is so important, because I think the earlier you can get that message across, to up-and-coming athletes, the better. So even while they're in high school, even junior high, understanding, you know, what you need to do to play in high school and then college, and if you're lucky enough to go into the professional rank, because it's more than just, hey, so what? You can shoot the lights out or run a 4.240 and all that. If you had not done the other things, hey, that's not going to get you anything.
Well, the reality is not luck has nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter is, like I said, I say you're a professional athlete the moment someone's willing to pay money to watch you play. Because now when they speak to you and they advise you one way or the other, they're trying to influence your decision. And they talk about the term polarizing. The word polarizing means that no matter what you do, you get to criticize it. For all these kids that become 3, 4, 5 stars, everybody loves them all across the country. They get love from every school. Every recruiting coach is telling them how great they are. And the fact of the matter is, once they finally make that decision, half of those recruiting people, half of people never call you again, and now the rest of the people will don't agree with you, not tell you how dumb you are. If you are weak-minded and not understand that the decision you made was one that's informed and best for you, you will really struggle as an athlete and a parent because you continue to bounce around back and forth till you're broke, until you're mentally depressed, until you're not realizing what's actually going on. So, again, you can't all of a sudden now say, like, you know what, I'm a great athlete, I'm 6'7", and I'm 14 years old. You got to understand where you're headed in this. So sitting back every day and just figuring out, like, okay, I can hit this jump shot, but the bottom line, when they put this contract in front of me, I can't read it. Somebody's about to read it for me, and who that person may be basically taking half of what I'm getting, not knowing it. So, again,
Rob, that's happened so many times over the years.
80%. 80% of the time,
you are absolutely right. Hey, man, a couple of things I want to just get your thoughts on, and I'm just going to throw these issues out to you and see if you may not have any thoughts about them. But over in Columbus, this whole thing with Urban Meyer, and, some people are just saying, hey, he's the football coach. He's not responsible for what the people who work with them do. They use the example, you know, I work at the bank. I don't know what the other bank manager does when he goes home. Explain to us why that's different for
the most important thing is that, right, so again, like anything else, it's talking about your body of work and basically a fact-based situation. Has Urban Meyer won football games? Yes, he has. At the University of Florida? Yes, he has. At Utah? Yes, he has. At Ohio State? Yes, he has. But the fact of the matter is, some of the athletes that played for him, what's the actual situation as far as on and off the field? So, again, if you're a football coach and your program is where you have guys such as Aaron Hernandez or the Riley Cooper, we used to call it N-word. But like I said, Aaron Hernandez is the only serial murderer in the history of football. Now, once again, word is that Urban Meyer told the NFL not to draft Aaron Hernandez. However, yet he only missed one game out of 40 for Urban Meyer. So you mean you tell me that this young man is not capable of going and making money for himself, but when it came to you making money and doing certain things, now that's okay. And again, it goes on and on and on. Carlos Dunlap, Will Hill. If you look at the track record, most recently Ezekiel Elliott, Cardell Jones under his watch, JT Barrett got a DUI. Again, when you talk about what Urban Meyer is really doing, how it's actually working, is like the people that he's putting out there, whether these parents turn these kids over to this person one way, when they leave, they're completely different. And at the end of the day, when you're talking about kids and you say it's education, that's not education. Because the fact of the matter is, if all I learn how to do is party, smoke, and drink, get high, or kill someone under this man's watch because he won a couple football games, you can't look the other way. So now you tie into his coaches being responsible or being called out for domestic violence. Well, again, who are these players being surrounded with? I say all the time, you are who you surround yourself with. So if Urban Meyer from Florida associated, surrounding himself with guys such as Zach Smith, and then look at what's going on with the players, that these young, impressionable players, a lot of them African-American players, look at the results. Cam Newton throwing laptops out the window. So the list goes on and on and on. And, again, the first thing Ohio State did when this story came out, they went, again, this is not a job. This is a school. So the First Amendment right, the first thing they went to do is try to silence the coaches and the parents and the kids and not say anything. You can't silence them. You can because they don't know any better. But the reality is they don't work for you, Urban Meyer. If something happens to one of these kids and they feel like they want to speak up, you just try to stop them to protect your actual money. And that's wrong. At the end of the day, that's what he did in Florida. And, again, if you heard a story that came out where it was, you know, a situation where former players talking about guys' legs exploding, guys getting hit in the face with full Gatorade bottles, you haven't seen any denials from Urban Meyer. So people today in the sports world figure if we don't talk about it, we just ignore it, we ignore it. And then the day if Urban Meyer is gone, Ohio State will still win simply because the players are there. But the fact of the matter is the end result will be is if some of these top recruits said right now, I'm going to leave. And the moment that two or three recruits that are top rated say, I'm going to leave, Urban Meyer will be fired. That's the proof in the pudding when it comes to this business in NCAA. It's about the kid and the family again. You want to put your kid in a situation where he can end up like Aaron Hernandez or play for 5 or 6 years like JT Barrett and Cardale Jones if your goal is to be quarterback in the National Football League? Or do you want to go somewhere else
and be a No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, do you want to be Carson Wentz and go to North Dakota State and be number 2 pick overall?
Right,
because
yeah.
They say it's about the Power 5. It's not about the Power 5. It's about who you are as a player, how you develop. Carson Wentz didn't have no off-the-field issues. He learned to play a pro-style system. He won championship at 1AA. And he's number 2 pick overall in the draft and now Super Bowl champion. So, once again, the facade of what people put out there on TV for their ratings, the ESPNs of the world and all these other shows,
exactly.
At the end of the day, look at it again. Trust the facts, not the process.
Exactly. Hey, and something else you talked about that I wanted to comment on was, you know, the power that the athletes have. I think about the situation in Dallas with, you know, Jerry Jones telling his Cowboys to toe the line. First of all, Rob, none of them guys were even thinking about doing anything with the flag. And he goes out after the NFL decides they are going to put this anthem policy on hold and demand that his Cowboys toe the line. And, Rob, you know when he said that, he was talking to his black players. Because primarily,
right. Well,
it's some white guys who have been stand up on this issue, but as you know, mostly this is a black issue. I wish, man, the Cowboys, some of those guys would just stand up and stand together. And one thing I wrote this in a column on the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. I hope all free agents will avoid going to Dallas in the future and say, hey, I don't want to go there because I don't want to play for Jerry Jones.
Well, let's talk about the NFL structure and how, why this is what it is. And like you said, the Cowboys. Now, to go back to say that, yeah, you, all these guys, they must toe the line and stand and not take a knee. But, yeah, it's okay to throw a woman on the bed with guns to give you a second and third chance. It's okay to fail a drug test 5 or 6 times and come back. It's okay to basically hire somebody who has a felony and then call him a mentor and have him work with guys like Dez Bryant, Adam Pacman Jones, and Michael Irvin, all in different eras, but all the same results, drugs, crime, and alcohol, and they have the audacity to go online and say this guy's been great for our team and things of that nature. So, again, I'm talking about trusting the facts. The fact is the Cowboys in the history of the program, since he got involved and over the last 20 years, have not won anything. However, they have been able to basically sell and make a lot of money based off what? All these players that have gotten in trouble allows Jerry Jones to basically be able to leverage their careers, even with all those great players, and not really paying them, they just do. Michael Irvin, NFL Hall of Famer, if you knew how much Michael Irvin made salary-wise, it's like the worst ever. That's why Michael Irvin's still working 60 hours a week on NFL Network and every other program that you show up on. Because, he may not be broke, but he can't live like he once wanted to live. Because Jerry Jones, every time he sniffs some cocaine or something, Jerry Jones said, we love you, Michael, but cut his salary in half. And that's how Jerry has always operated. And, again, at the end of the day, when you have athletes who, once again, only see themselves as athletes and then all of a sudden they become pros, it's hard for them to switch gears. Because the reality is they talk about terms such as distractions and team and winning, and I get that as a former pro, collegiate, and high school athlete. However, you are a man, you are a person first. So at the end of the day, Jerry Jones has every right as an employee or employer of his team to say that's what he wants. But the same way, the players have every right to, when they're not there, to basically say, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm doing that to bring awareness to this, to bring awareness to that. And at the end of the day, the NFL as a whole have to understand that the players don't play, and this goes all the way back to Missouri. A couple of years ago, when the players in Missouri, when The young man was being persecuted, and again, he wasn't a football player. He was just an African-American kid who didn't eat, who was dying pretty much. The mass media did not cover it until the football players became aware of it when they had swastikas with feces on the wall, and the players said, if this president of the school that was there for 30 years is not gone by this Saturday, we're not playing. And their head coach, who happened to be Caucasian, understands his business, meaning if my players won't listen to me, I have no future in this. And that applies to his owners, and that applies to anything else. So just like the NFL told Jerry, the gag order, they realized if they are going to start to push these multimillionaire players that actually make everything run, it's going to end up bad for the NFL as a whole. Meaning at the end of the day, these young men understand now what their actual leverage is in the business. The next CBA is coming up in 2021. So whether Jerry Jones wins or not, it's clear he don't care if he wins. It's been 20 years. He hasn't won anything. But yet, the team is worth $4.5 billion. Jerry's World, they're making money up and down by having a certain event, Nike opening, all you name it, back and forth. And at the end of the day, it's about making money for him and controlling the narrative when it comes to these actual athletes.
And like you said, $4.5 billion, not million.
Right.
Billion.
Right. Billion.
Hey, Business of Sports podcast with Robert T. Green, CEO of the Pre-Post Game, Inc., and this is Ricky Hampton, editor and publisher of the African-American Athlete, .com. Rob, what are some of the other things on your radar, man?
Well, T.O., obviously, and again, and the media as a whole when it comes to how these athletes and their voices are not being heard, including their parents. Now, again, I mentioned earlier about the Jalen Hurts situation and what he said, and Stephen A. Smith went to say that what Jalen Hurts needs to do and all these different areas, and I couldn't help but be so disappointed because, one, Stephen A. has shown that he knows nothing about football inside or out. Even so, when Urban Meyer situation came out, he went on First Take and had the huge airwaves and said that this is what happened based off the reporting that he actually heard. Like, all you had to do was go look something up for yourself and actually to report it yourself, but you didn't even do that. But yet, when a young man says that, you know what, this is what it is, I was told this and told that, and you're telling this man that he needs to sit down and do whatever, and as you said, 26-2. Again, trying to use your platform to silence an athlete because you don't like what he has to say because maybe you want to continue to have interviews with ESPN or Urban Meyer or Nick Saban. That's fine. You do that. But at the end of the day, now what you find, you have shows such as First Things First with Chris Carter. You got the other show with Shannon Sharpe, which in my personal opinion, he's the best authentic and also realistic person out of the bunch. So I figured, like, you know what, maybe he feels like because it's more than him now that he wants to take another approach and make himself look like or say words such as acquiesce and show his and articulate his knowledge of the English language. But everybody that's watching, particularly people that look like us, have no idea, understand what he's talking about and don't care to, especially when you're attacking a young man who all he's trying to do is put himself in the best situation possible. What you should have said was maybe he's right because who has Nick Saban got to the NFL from the quarterback position has been successful while this kid as a redshirt freshman, sophomore, who's going to graduate in December and with a 26-2 record. You should be applauding that young man, not critiquing him.
Yeah. But, man, Nick doesn't care that he's graduating.
He's going to graduate in December.
Yeah, and I know. But, you know, he wants these guys to play football. If they graduate fine.
Right.
And think about some of the kids, not only at Alabama, at some of the other Power Five schools. I think the worst thing that ever happened, they go there and they, you know, you're at Alabama, you got the best facilities, the best of everything. You're playing on national TV. You plan for national championships. And then after your eligibility's gone, you don't get drafted. You end up going back home without your degree, and all you can say is, well, I played at Alabama. And you leave,
right.
and the reason I mention that, Rob, because you leave in those circumstances. A lot of these guys come from very difficult circumstances. Then they get put in an environment in Alabama for 4 or 5 years. They don't get the degree out of it. They don't go to the NFL. What do? They go right back to that community, right back to those circumstances, empty-handed.
Now think about this. So that's what happens to the majority of them, and the rest of them that are great elite athletes. Again, the NCAA entire process was saying about an athlete, whether it's basketball or football in particular, baseball too. But at the same time, for those guys, for example, the upcoming 2019 NFL draft class, the top 10 players, 7 to 8 out of 10 of them are underclassmen. None of them are leaving with a degree. Everybody knows that. They knew that when they got to the school. So why didn't NCAA or the school or the university do something to try to make sure they can graduate with the degree that matters? But no, they put them all in these same classes so they can maintain these 3.0 GPAs. So what these coaches can get, what they call these APR bonuses, meaning like if you have a 3.0 or above with a certain amount of players, they get bonuses of $85,000, $90,000, $100,000. But that class you got an A in is massage therapy, where you can fall asleep and dream. And if you fall asleep, though, your punishment is you wake up and write about what you dreamt about. That's a factual matter class in a Power 5 conference.
No.
All you do is ask around. Absolutely. Now, I know, Ricky, we talk about HBCUs, but at the same time, what I'm trying to tell you is all these universities operate the same exact way. Some just operate bigger than others, but when it comes down to this situation, when it comes to these schools and these athletes, they are profit margins to them, not assets. That's why they draft every year.
Absolutely.
That's why they recruit every year. That's why when you sign a contract when it comes to the college, you got to make a four-year commitment. No, you don't have to. You sign and make a four-year commitment. They're making a one-year commitment to you. But yet you never really thought about what's going on. And at the end of the day, you didn't even read to figure it out. You don't have to sign that. You can say, no, as coach leave, I'm going to leave. I have an attorney. This is my lawyer. You don't like it, I go play for your rival. Again, it's a business decision. And this is what people got to start to understand. Now, again, believe it or not, when you get recruited and they tell you they love you in front of your face, you go somewhere else, they're going to talk about you behind your back. Again, that's business. I can live with that. Players got to be able to live with that. Parents, too. So, again, instead of taking it personal, you research. Like I said, knowledge is power.
No no doubt about it, man. I recall, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, you had a great little piece on I think it was some guys, I think it was two of the ESPN guys, college football analysts. They let it slip on how guys get treated once they get there. And I think it was big-time quarterback. Well, can recall that story, Rob. It was about, highly recruited guy getting on campus.
Right.
They
David
winded
Pollack.
Down.
David Pollack of Georgia, who unfortunately got hurt when he got to the NFL, hurt his neck, and now he works for ESPN as an analyst. Desmond Howard, who was the Heisman Trophy for Michigan one time ago, was talking about how they go about and telling these kids everything they want to hear and their parents and make them feel loved and tell them how great they are and things of that nature. And once again, I talk about how the four different types of recruiting there is. Defensive recruiting, there's regional recruiting, there's I really want you recruiting, and it's, like I said, keep you a star recruiting, meaning some coaches get paid based off the star that you have to come to the campus. So once you get them there and all things like that, once they sign, the kids now figure out like they really didn't mean what they said. They just wanted to get me here because they didn't want me to go to the rival. They just wanted to get me here because literally they didn't want me to basically give my star to somebody else. They wanted to get me here so I could take this job at the next school. And so now once they get there, it's a rude awakening. A lot of these kids never sat the bench before. Again, if they tell the coach before, I want to come and play, oh, yeah, you can play, they'll say things like, oh, yeah, the best man plays. That's not true. Or they'll say things like, oh, it's going to be open competition. That's not true. Like I said, tell you what you need, what you want to hear, not what you need to know. And at the end of the day, you got to be diligent and more forceful about what you're trying to accomplish. In Division I, II, and III, there's 600 schools that actually, have football programs. So the fact of the matter is, when you talk about education, we know only 1%, only 255 guys get drafted in the National Football League. So if that's being the case, you know it's a business. 600 schools, which each school have predominantly about 100 kids on there. They're all at some point, especially 1AA, 1A, all believe they're going pro. And when they spoke to these coaches in these schools, all of them told them that they have an opportunity to do so going there, even if they don't. And again, at the end of the day, the problem is all the people talking to them about that, helping to make them make a decision, is getting compensated for that decision. Only to have kids all of a sudden say, or school say, you know, the kid left on his own. So I want to talk about real quick about college practice squads, because there's a such thing as that too. I get you here from your star. I don't want to play you. But at the same time, you know, reality is these people now turn around and say, your junior year, I'm going to change you from a tight end to a tackle. But you know the kid's going to quit. But then you said it was his decision. That wasn't his decision. You lied to him 3 years and told him he's going to be great. He's going to be play. He's going to play. Keep working hard. Keep working hard. The kid wanted to play football, whether it's you or somebody else. It's selfish. It's irresponsible. It's disrespectful to the family for these people to tell them that, to keep them there so they can protect themselves. And then all of a sudden, when a kid leaves his senior year, he comes back to some 1AA program and say, oh, he came from that school. Now he got to try to make up time that he lost last 3 to 4 years of play. So once again, that's what goes on. It's always been gone on that way. Well, really, the kids and the families never had a voice. And then when it happens to them, they don't get to speak upon it. So that's why what we do here at Pre-Post Game is to educate and empower, protect you by saying, like, hey, if you're having a conversation and someone's talking to you, they're not educating you about what's going on. They're not empowering you. I mean, you might need that person, but they should be empowering you to do something for yourself. How can they protect you from something that happened to me? Then you shouldn't be listening to them. And at the same time, you need to be able to understand, like, you know what? You, three things are happening every day. You're using, being used, or you're building. And you got to find a way to make two of those three work out for you, or it's not going to end up the way you thought it was going to be. So if they're using you more than using them, you're not building on what you're trying to do based on where you're at, then you're going to have a problem.
That's good stuff, man. Speaking of pre-post game, Ron, how can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So we are a sports business management advisory firm. We also do transition succession planning regarding athletes at every level, starting as early as, fifth, sixth grade, regarding your wants and needs in the actual sports business. We audit, vet, monitor the people that are literally going to be working with you to make sure you understand what you're getting, understand what you're reading, understand what you're signing up for. And at the end of the day, at the higher level, if it's not going the way it's supposed to be able to find the right people to make sure you get to do what you got to do when you focus on your career. So you can find more information about us at prepostgame.com. You can follow me specifically at the Players Rep 1 on Twitter, the Players Rep 1 on Instagram. I like to talk about from my company standpoint. A lot of times I give away the free information. We get compensated based off the empowerment and the protection, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you end up being a client of ours or not. We know these things have been going on for I want to say centuries. As I said, if Toys R Us can go out of business, and Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey can go out of business, NCAA, based on how they've been doing things since 1906, can go out of business as well. So that's where we're at today in 2018.
And, Rob, you know, going back, you mentioned the Missouri football team earlier. Man, I was hoping that people watching that would see the power of being able to get something accomplished when you can get a group of people to stick together and take on the issue. Those young men handled themselves with class, and they were organized, and they were determined, and they got stuff done. They got a president out of there.
Why do you think that happened? Why do you think that those kids wasn't attacked by the powers that be?
Hey, they were going to take money out of people's pockets.
Right. So not only that, though, but again, that same coach had to try to go back to another group of kids, predominantly African-American, and do the same thing. If he didn't stand by them, it's all she wrote.
Right.
They had to recruit another class the next year to maintain their program. So once again, when it all comes down to it, it always been about the players. But again, when it comes to why people don't see that, because the ones that need to see it are the parents and the actual athletes. And there's no way that the powers that be are going to use the focal point of how these kids are so strong in what they do. That's why I said, again, at the end of the day, if you really want to know how the Ohio State situation is going to turn out, find out how many recruits still committed or decommitted. Then you know how fast that story is going to pick up or go away. Because at the bottom line, it's about that situation. But once again, if a parent knows the history of Urban Meyer, which most of them do not, if the kid knows the history of Ohio State with Urban Meyer, regardless of winning, besides winning championships, if I'm a quarterback and I want to go to the National Football League and I'm an elite five-star pro league quarterback, who can I look to and say that I was successful in the National Football League from my Ohio State position at quarterback? You're not going to find any.
Why would you?
So once again, those are facts. So once again, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Who's the quarterback at Ohio State has been drafted high? Yes, JT Barrett is the best in the Big Ten history. Did that turn around and pay JT Barrett the money he was looking for to be a quarterback? When Deshaun Watson beat Alabama, and when he got to the championship twice back-to-back and was all ACC and won a national championship for Clemson for the first time since 1981. Did I get Rashawn drafted at the number 2 pick overall like Mr. Trubisky, who sat the bench for 3 years and only played 9 games as a senior and got drafted number 2? So Deshaun getting drafted number 12, Patrick Mahomes getting drafted number 10 at Texas Tech, who never won anything, and Mitch Trubisky, who only started 1 year after backing up African-American for 3 years. Now, Mitch Trubisky's entire contract, his signing bonus is bigger than Deshaun Watson's entire contract, and Deshaun Watson just tore his ACL last year. So it's a good thing he's back now and getting back to it, but you don't know if he's going to get back the way he was or not, but you can't get that
right.
money back. So once again,
right.
decisions about making playing in sports and business, that's North Carolina, that's Texas Tech being drafted higher than Clemson in the Power 5. But Clemson spent $55 million for the best facilities, and again, trust the facts, not the process, when it comes to these athletes when they make their decisions.
That's good stuff, man. That is good stuff. You're listening to the Business of Sports podcast with Robert T. Green, CEO of Pre-Post Game, and this is Ricky Hampton of the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com. You can check us out at the AfricanAmericanAthlete.com and go to our Facebook page, the African American Athlete. Rob, we just got a couple more minutes. Anything else?
Sure.
You got on tap you want to share with us?
Well, like I said again, I would just implore athletes and families to understand that a lot of the information that you seek and what you want to do, and it's all good to have fun, but it's too many people getting compensated for fun to ignore reality. And the fact of the matter is a lot of these kids and how these things end up, whether it's through mental health and depression and transition succession bars, who they are outside of the game, when you believe it's about character development, you got to just face the facts. The reality is, again, it's a business for you. So, again, if you really want to be successful in that business, you can start to educate yourself on everything you need to know, again, by starting to end in mind. When it comes to the new situation with the NCAA and their basketball programs and what they're trying to tell these kids and families, you hear phrases such as allow and things of that nature. You got to stop and sit back a minute. Like, who are you to allow me to do anything? Like, at the end of the day, last time I checked, that these kids are the reason why you actually in operations and in business. And when you start looking at yourself as the actual business, which the parent and the kid actually are, you are the CEO of your business. And again, you talk about this other job in this country where you allow someone to basically say, hey, you know what? Even though you work for me, I'm going to let you tell me what you're going to pay me. That makes absolutely no sense. For the top 10 kids that's projected to be in draft 2019 NFL draft class, that's about to pay somebody $500,000 plus to possibly $1 million plus, $2 million plus once they get to the second contract to say, hey, you know what? I didn't know I was going to be a top 10 pick. How didn't you know? You've been projected as a top 10 pick since you was a freshman in college. So once you know that, you have to understand the business. Are you going to allow somebody to come there? And like I said, you're going to give your kid away to them and say, hey, well, thank you for me getting them to this point. Now you take them. It makes absolutely no business sense. It makes absolutely no personal sense. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever when it comes to you being the person that raised your kids. You got to take more of a responsibility in being involved in their life and not turn them over to coach such and such because he won 12 championships. You're looking at Michigan State right now, Penn State, and now Ohio State, whether the wrestlers or anything else, with the girls and with the guys being touched and the women raped,
right.
all these different
right.
things. You're turning your kids over to people who you don't know, don't understand. The only you do know is that they won some football games. But yet now,
right.
again, you got Aaron Hernandez. Now you got a whole bunch of other stuff going on. Is your child's life worth a couple wins and a ring and a T-shirt? And I hope not. And like I said, that's what we hear at Free Post Game. So it
wow.
is.
That's
we're
good
not
stuff,
the company
Rob.
For you.
That's,
we're not the company
that's
for you.
Really
but if
good
you aren't,
stuff.
Then give us a call.
And I got to add to this something I saw. I was at a AAU basketball tournament a couple of weeks ago. I went out there. My son was doing some. My son's a assistant basketball coach on the Division III level, and we were just out looking at players. I went with him. And Rob, I'm listening to some of the parents in the stands, and, you know, that every parent in the – of course not every parent, but they all – a lot of these kids think their son's going to the NBA. From that day in the gym, it was about 50 NBA, future NBA players in there. I mean,
right,
I'm like,
right.
y'all are delusional. How about
that's,
getting
that's
this guy
that's
ready?
That's the banana in the tailpipe. Right.
Say what, Rob?
Well, we talk about sports trafficking, and I talked about human trafficking and sex trafficking, and I created the phrase and talked about sports trafficking. Because, again, these parents believe that based off of who is around their kids. When the moment the kid is taller than he normally would be, or can shoot or play a game, and the word gets out, everybody now wants to get in that kid ear and tell him what they can do. A lot of parents don't understand the sports business and look at TV and certain pictures, and now they become part of that system. The reality is, you talk about the kids at AAU, ask me how many parents in that AAU from their kids going pro, how many of them paid a fee, a phenomenal fee, such as, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 to be in that gym. I can tell you about 90% of them paid. But the one that really is going to probably be in the NBA, I can promise you he didn't pay. Not only he didn't pay, but somebody around him who's trafficking him paid, and he's never going to pay. So once again, 1% go pro, but you need 99% to actually create the product, and that's the problem. So at the end of the day, I'm not knocking kids' dreams or parents' beliefs and wants, but once again, it's not luck how you get there. If all you think is about playing the game to be successful, sustaining in a pro level, you're going to be sad when it's all said and done. But you're also going to, your pocket's going to be a lot lighter, and not the people that you actually turn the kid over through the trafficking process.
Right on point, brother. Right on point, Robert T. Green. Well, hey, man, let's wrap this thing up. I always enjoy talking to you, and we got to get another podcast back out there again real soon, the Business of Sports podcast with Robert T. Green. And this is one of the most important pieces of information that our listeners can get out there. Because, you know, you can go anywhere and hear about who you think got the best jumper and who you think has the best team. But particularly in the African-American community, we need to be more educated about the business of sports. Because in many cases, Rob, it's our athletes from the black community that are the engine of these major sports, such as the NFL and the NBA.
You're they're the engine, they're the steering wheel, they're the lights, they are the actual interior, they're the tires. The only thing that they're not is the body, and that's because they haven't figured that out yet, but we're working on that, and sooner or later they will.
Absolutely. One more time, how can we follow you and get in contact with you?
Prepostgame.com, prepostgame.com, hashtag prepostgame.com, hashtag the players rep one word. Go to Twitter, Instagram, follow at the Players Rep 1 on Instagram, the Players Rep 1 on Twitter. And I look forward to talking to you again, Mr. Hampton. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Rob. Take care, man.
You too. God bless.